From the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, first stay at the Meyerson Nerves for a veteran conductor and the story of a man who spent years in prison for a crime he did not commit. First, a plan to install video chat at the Dallas County Jail hit a roadblock today. The idea is essentially a video conference between inmates and their families outside the jail. That would be good news for frail and elderly family members, but county commissioners pulled the item off the agenda after a vocal group of opponents pointed to what it saw as two big problems. First, wording in the proposed contract with Securus Technologies implied that once the system was up and running, family and friends would no longer be able to physically visit inmates in person. The other point of concern, each 20-minute video chat session would cost a family $10. Dallas County would have cleared up to 25% of that money.
And so what you had was you had a false, what I'd like to call false capitalistic idea of demand being created because you could no longer visit your loved one in person.
Josh Gravens heads up Texas Cure, an advocacy group that works with prisoners and their families. He's thrilled that the Securus Technologies contract wasn't accepted as is. Here's what happens next. The county will ask all five companies that submitted bids to put in another offer, but under some new terms. The contracts can't ban in-person visits, and the county can't make a commission off of video chats. It'll be several weeks at least until a final decision is made. From the county jail to the prison system. Last year, Texas exonerated more people than any other state. More and more stories of these people are surfacing in books like Tested, how 12 wrongly imprisoned men held onto hope. The author of that book, Dorothy Budd, used to work as a prosecutor in the Dallas County District Attorney's Office and now is an Episcopal deacon. She joined Think host Chris Boyd today with two of the exonerees she wrote about. One of them, Richard Miles, remembers a certain day in Dallas County District Court. It was 1995, and he was barely 20 years old. He thought it would be the day wrongful charges against him for murder and attempted murder would be thrown out.
When I sat in the jury trial and the gentleman came in, I had never saw this guy before in my life. It's one thing to know that you're innocent and you know for a surety. But when you have somebody come into a courtroom and say, yes, that's the person that did it, and it's like, okay, what's going on now? Where did this guy come from? Who is this guy? Do I look like somebody else? So many different things ran through my head, you know, in the courtroom because I could not figure out. And for 15 years, that was my biggest struggle. How did this gentleman sit in this chair and say I was the person that did this shooting when I was nowhere around the crime scene? So that haunted me for a long time. I was like, okay, did he see me walking home? Did he? How? You know, it was really, really hard. I know now, 20 years later, the prosecutor in my case had my picture with him. And before the gentleman went in to testify, he told the prosecutor, he said, man, I don't remember this case. I don't even remember the suspect. And even when he went in to testify, he even testified that the skin complexion of the shooter was way darker than I was. The height of the shooter was way taller than I was. But the prosecutor told him to go in and testify against me. My father, he was a minister, and so he always stood on the saying, the truth shall set you free. And so when I was incarcerated, that's what I stood on. You know, at some point in time, I knew that the truth was going to set me free. I thought that it was going to be my truth, you know, me just verbally telling them that I was the wrong person, that I didn't have no knowledge of the incident or anything like that. But it wasn't my verbalization of the truth that actually set me free. But I always knew that eventually I was going to get out. I just didn't think that it would have taken those amount of years out of my life.
That was Richard Miles, who spent 14 years in prison for crimes he didn't commit. You can hear the rest of the story he told today on Think tonight at 10 or in the podcast at kera.org/think. Dorothy Budd speaks tonight at the Dallas Holocaust Museum for Education and Tolerance. Wendy Davis's book tour moves to San Antonio tonight. In her memoir, Forgetting to Be Afraid, the Democratic candidate for governor writes about growing up in poverty, family turmoil, and ending two pregnancies. KERA's Dwali Sykoutow reports Davis's supporters in her hometown of Fort Worth turned out last night.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Several hundred people stood in line while Davis autographed her memoir for nearly 2 hours. TCU junior Molly Mitchell says she, like Davis, is pro-choice.
I should have the right to do what I want with my own body. I don't feel like a politician should tell me what I can do with my body.
Mitchell called Davis a role model for being honest about her pregnancies.
It was really brave of her, I think, to actually come out and say, you know, I had wondered in the past, you know, does she really know both sides of the story? Because yes, she did have a child at a young age, but did she ever have an abortion?
Hugging Davis's book to her chest, Crystal Velasquez had these words for Davis.
Thank you. Thank you. Because in the book she says, you know, she wants to be the voice, and she really is. For single mothers, for teenage mothers, for anyone. She's setting the example. We can do it. We can make it. We're making it all the way to governor.
Not everyone is gushing about the book. Davis's Republican opponent, Greg Abbott, claims she's violating campaign contribution laws because the publisher's marketing of the book constitutes an illegal donation. Abbott's campaign has complained to the Texas Ethics Commission. The Davis campaign says the complaint is frivolous. Dua Li Saikautau, KERA News, Fort Worth.
Art and Seek's Secrets of the Meyerson series has been looking back at the 25-year history of the Meyerson Symphony Center. In our final installment, KERA contributor Quinn Matthews takes us back as conductor Eduardo Mata rehearses the Dallas Symphony for the first time in its new home.
The Dallas Symphony hated the distant acoustics of its old home, the Music Hall at Fair Park, so much that it went to an Oak Cliff church when it made recordings.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're rolling on 36.
And for 12 years, music director Eduardo Mata patiently waited for a new hall made just for symphonic music.
I welcomed the idea of this hall being small because I want the sense of intimacy when we're performing there. So I can't wait to see it happening.
Then the day came. 1989, the first rehearsal in the Meyerson. Mata gave me a ride into the hall.
I'm very nervous.
Are you really?
Very nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Well, mostly because I know for sure that half of the things that we need for the rehearsal to go well are not going to be ready, like risers for the orchestra, lights, etc. So I feel nervous because everybody wants to have the best impression possible of the hall and its capabilities, and that will probably not happen today.
In fact, it was noisy with construction still going on. But the players heard for the first time what they had been waiting years for. It was magic. For Mata, not a destination, but a challenge.
And what we want to see now, not only me, but the association in general, is how ready the community at large is to keep supporting the orchestra beyond the new hall.
Eduardo Mata continued to lead the Dallas Symphony for 4 years in the Meyerson. A little over a year after stepping down, he died in a plane crash in Mexico. He was 52 years old, almost 20 years ago. For KERA News, I'm Quinn Matthews.
Videographer Dane Walters had some fun making all the Meyerson's moving parts dance to music. You can watch that video and many others at our interactive website, Secrets of the Meyerson. Go to artandseek.org/Meyerson. For the evening, mostly or partly cloudy skies, a low around 76. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high about 97. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, 40% chance for showers with a low near 75. 97 degrees in Dallas. And 97 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or like us on Twitter.